Working with a board for the first time, a personal account from a CEO. It's challenging out there. We always stress it. It's almost part of every introduction of every episode. In this episode, we get a personal account from a CEO who works for the first time in her career with a board. Quite unique insights. My podcast partner is Daphne Mavrudi-Hoholi. Daphne is Managing Director of RNIB Enterprises. This is the commercial operational arm of the Royal National Institute of the Blind, a large charity in the UK. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Dr. Sabine Lemkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. Better Boards clients have access to an innovative digital platform that provides data and comparisons on all dimensions of effective boards and can use the platform for the internal as well as part of the external evaluation. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Daphne, thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Thank you so much for having me, Sabine. I'm very excited to be here.
Daphne, you're responsible for the enterprise part of a very large UK-based charity. It's the first time that you are in a CEO role and you have to work with a board. What has surprised you the most?
So previously I've sat on a board as an observer, mostly supporting a very successful serial entrepreneur who's had multiple exits. And so in those boards, the balance is quite different. You have an established background and your investors are investing in you and your idea. And so there's definitely a sense of, if I ask for help, please help me. If I don't ask for help, please leave me alone to kind of do my thing. Or that was my experience in a startup board. I am now the managing director of RNIB Enterprises, which is the kind of for-profit subsidiary of a very large, or the largest charity in the UK that looks to support blind and partially sighted people. And so I operate in the backdrop of a charity, which is a highly regulated environment in the UK. And the relationship with the board is quite different, or we're building a different way of working to what I have experienced in the past, which is one of a unitary board. I work very closely with our chairwoman to collaborate and bring our executives and non-executive directors into the conversation in terms of making decisions and moving the organization forward. What has surprised me the most, obviously coming from the startup world, is just the governance, which for my charity colleagues, there's less governance than my board because it's a commercial board. But again, when I compare it to a startup board, there's quite a lot. There's multiple risk registers. There's a lot more moving pieces. And I often wonder, what is the right balance between governance and being agile and nimble in terms of being able to make decisions? It's a daily struggle. So your podcast has been fantastic in helping me navigate that and giving me some food for thought.
No, Daphne, this is a common thread, regardless of the size of the company, what we are hearing. Yeah. Do we still have the right balance on the board between governance and actually the entrepreneurial, the value creation part? And quite a lot of people think the balance isn't right anymore.
Yes, I agree. Sometimes also, I've been thinking that the way in which we've managed boards in the 80s and the 90s required a certain type of governance, which we still in some areas seem to kind of latch onto. But in the 80s and the 90s, we barely had mobile phones. We didn't have emails or anything like that. So how are we bringing and satisfying the need for governance into a world that moves a lot faster?
I think that is the key question. That is actually the $1 billion question a lot of people try to answer. And
that will be my startup idea.
I don't think anyone has found yet the answer. I think it's work in progress. But that is something that has to be somehow resolved in the next years. It's a key question.
Yes, absolutely.
Boards are there to help you to create value, to secure value. Mm-hmm. Do you see value? Do you get value from working with a board?
100% yes. I am very lucky with the board and the members of the board. And if I could distill a couple of things where I really see value coming through, I think there's two things. One is the opportunity to be honest, to have an honest, no holds barred conversation about life in the trenches, really. You know, being a CEO can be a lonely place. There's not many people within the organization you can have a candid conversation with. And there's very few people outside the organization that really understand the intricacies of your day-to-day, not to mention the fact that there are instances where you can't really talk externally about what's troubling and kind of what's going on. So that is one of the key ways in which I'm seeing value in the interactions with the board. And I really like the use of the word working with the board rather than sitting in the board or participating in the board, because you're right, it's work. So the second incredible benefit that I see is that of a critical friend, someone who's close enough to the business to understand what's going on and understand the context, but also somebody who's far removed from the business to have a different and often clearer perspective. That is really invaluable. And so that when we come and we have a formal kind of board meeting, those two things form the backdrop against which we have a conversation and we make decision. So yes, I am, even though with everything that we said about governance, I am still a huge fan and an advocate for really working and partnering with your board.
Now, what you describe requires that you have really trusting relationships, that you feel comfortable to talk openly, which isn't the case for all executives, let's face it. I mean, quite a lot of executives have to put on a show for the board. So how do you create from your side, what have you done to make this possible, that such a relationship exists?
That is a really good question. So sometimes I'm quite explicit. Let's say, Sabine, you are on my board. I will explicitly say, hats off. I'm now no longer the managing director and you're not the chairperson or the director of the business. We're having a person-to-person conversation about, for 10 minutes, of the things that are challenging. And then we're going to put our kind of hats back on. And for those of you that can't see me, I'm literally moving my hands as if I'm putting a hat on and I'm putting a hat off. But we're now going to put our work hats on and we're going to have a slightly different conversation where some of the emotion perhaps that we can have when we have a person-to-person conversation is removed and we have a much more fact-based, data-driven, rational kind of conversation. But I find it very important to bring not necessarily my full self to work. Sometimes my full self to work is not the kind of person that you really want to work with, right? But build that trust requires some transparency. And I think ultimately truth will always out. So there's only so long that you can put on the dog and pony show to pretend that certain things are true or that you're a particular individual. When you're tired, when you're stressed, your real self will come out and it's easier to build that relationship of trust and for people to understand where you're coming from and who you really are at your core in situations of perhaps a little bit more emotional calm so that you build that true partnership. But I hear you in that. I'm probably quite fortunate in my position to have an extremely supportive board that is providing quite a lot of time and cognitive support and opportunity to kind of work through some of the thorniest issues that we're faced with. We're quite new. The board was convened about 6 months ago. So we're still trying to find our feet, as it were.
And what's the most challenging part you see in working with the board?
We keep coming around the same themes,
that's
I think.
Good. So that's all fine.
The most challenging part of working with a board is striking that balance between managing the board, engaging with more board members, ensuring that there's alignment, and then actually doing the day-to-day job. It's very easy to get swept up in questions from board members and almost move away from the business. or to be so far into the business that you almost forget that you need to update the board and that you're on a journey with the board and, you know, they need to come along with you. This working very well is building a strong relationship with the chairwoman or the chairman of the board, who can then help you manage stakeholders and the flow of information out, and can be almost like a partner that says, that's too many questions. Thank you very much. We've got a board meeting in a month. We're going to come back to that. Or reminding me that I have been too much into the business and there's some broader board engagement and alignment that needs to happen. It's timely. It's time consuming. It's part of the job, but we should recognize, especially with the backdrop of the conversation we've just had around governance, that sometimes weeks can go by and all you've done is governance and board management stuff, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but that requires that you have a strong bench in terms of managing the business.
Yeah. What has helped you on the way? How do you make this work, this relationship and inside the boardroom? Our listeners are always very keen to get some tips and tricks and practical insights. So what has really helped you?
Yeah. So believe it or not, the first thing that really helped was a previous episode of your podcast with Jyoti Gupta around storytelling. And I think the term that Jyoti used was narrative fluency, which is probably better than storytelling. But narrative fluency and having clarity around what is the shining city on the hill that we're all marching towards, yourself, the organization, and the board, is critical. Are we on the same page? Do we understand what we're trying to achieve? And what is really important? Having that clearly defined ensures that when we're around the table discussing budget, a business plan, organizational transformation, our brand, whatever it might be, that we are clear and united on where we're heading and on what really matters. Otherwise, half of the board meeting is spent on ensuring we're all on the same page and that we're all up to speed and we have the same backdrop against which we're making decisions. So that's the first thing that has really helped. The second one is data. So a quote that I very often use with my teams is, and I sadly off the top of my head, I can't remember who first said this. So definitely need to put this in the show notes and give credit where credit's due. But the quote is, in God with trust, everybody else bring data. Find the right data for the story that you're telling, ensure that it's credible, and that helps you move the conversation away from opinions and feelings to facts. And also when you do that with a board, it instills a culture of fact-based decision-making across the organization, which is fundamental. So I'm a big fan of data. The third one that helps, but as I've said earlier, I'm challenged with, and I need to, it's a constant labor of love, is balance. What is too much information? What is too little information? What is a must know versus a nice to know, etc., right? I have been in board meetings where the board packs were 200, 300 pages long. And that is probably because we're not very clear on what the story is. We're not very clear on what it is that we're trying to achieve and therefore what is important in us succeeding. So we share everything, which in turn creates a risk issue. But the reality in working with a board when you share a 300-page document is that often there's gridlock because all of a sudden asking for a lot of time from your board, for a lot of cognitive power and concentration to go through 300 pages and connect all of the dots of everything that's in there. And so I think there's a risk of missing the chance to extract value from the board. So that's the third one.
I have a question on that front. I mean, for a lot of large organizations, 300 papers sounds aspirational in a positive sense, yeah? What do you think for your business? What do you think is the right number of pages? Where do you see a good balance?
So I am a huge fan of the Amazon paper, which is a maximum of 6 pages long. The other rule from Amazon is that you read the paper in the room so that everybody has exactly the same amount of time to digest the paper, which is easy to do when the paper is 6 pages, much harder to do when the papers are 300 pages long. But I think the requirement to be more succinct. It requires more time. The more you need to summarize and the more you need to go through the exercise of what is really important and what is it that I'm trying to convey and why am I sharing this information? What decision am I laddering up to and what conversation am I trying to instigate by presenting this information is critical. And that requires time and clarity of objective, really, for the meeting. A question that I often ask my teams and colleagues in the executive team is, when we're going into a board, what is it that we're trying to get out of it? What decisions, what are the three big decisions that we want to be able to make in those 3-4 hours? And then let's structure our board pack around this and then add anything that is required from a governance perspective, which forms the backdrop against which our conversations are going to happen.
Great. No, that's really, really helpful. Now, when I ask you what has helped you, you said storytelling, data, balance, and we made a slight diversion. Is there anything else?
The fourth one is transparency. Because I've mentioned before, when I was talking about storytelling and when I was talking about data, this is an exercise almost in manipulation. You build a story and then you find the right data point and then you lead the conversation in a particular way. That is in no way, shape, or form what I am suggesting. I am not an advocate for opaque communications, misleading data for the sake of striking a balance. Ultimately, as Shakespeare said, truth will out every time. So you might as well be honest and transparent at the beginning. In another one of your episodes, there was this, I think it was Dr. Crow, yeah, who talked about 1 in 6 directors don't really understand the business of the business that they are called on to manage. And so transparency coupled with storytelling and data and balance enables you as the CEO or the managing director, the person who's really leading the conversation, structuring the conversations around the board, to understand, to help board members understand the business of your business. And as a result, extract value from those directors and really understand what is it that they bring to the table that would be, that is of value to you. And then their impact is almost exponentially multiplied. So those four things, narrative fluency or storytelling, data, balance, and then transparency, really put you in a strong position to get the most out of your board members and the time that you all have together.
No, that's really, really helpful. If you could change one thing about working with the board, what would it be?
I would love to see boards really embrace diversity and bring different thinking in the room. I would love to see boards expand their candidate pool beyond traditional networks and traditional and, you know, tried and tested executive firms in order to bring in individuals with diverse backgrounds and a much wider set of characteristics, be it in gender, in age, in disability. It might appear at first as extra work, but it pays huge dividends when those individuals are around the table and they're really able to challenge groupthink, bring different perspectives, and expand the board's parameters by which a problem and a solution are defined. That's the thing that I would love to see change in boards, just greater diversity around the table so that we are all able to expand, amplify, and augment our thinking. There's real value there to be extracted with a little bit of work up front.
Great. So I'm looking at the watch here, and sadly, we have to come to an end. Time is flying.
Yes.
You know, I recorded a podcast myself recently where I was on your seat, and I realized how difficult this question actually is. But it's really helpful to our listeners. What are the three things our listeners should take away from our conversation?
Hands down, number one is the need to build narrative fluency. What's the shining city on the hill that the whole organization, the board, is marching to? Listen to Jyoti Gupta's episode on this. Because from that comes number two, which is, what is it in every board interaction that you have, either on a one-to-one basis with a board member or as a board group? what are you trying to extract? What is the objective, the real objective of that meeting? Forget the agenda. That objective links to the story that you're marshalling the entire organization around. And so when you have that narrative fluency very clear, then everything flows around that. So that's number two, narrative fluency, number one. Number two is, what is the objective of that meeting? And then the last one is really critically look around the table and look at ways in which you can build diversity around the board table, not as a way of meeting a particular quota or anything like that, but really to bring in new ways of working, new thinking, challenge the status quo in a good way, and really help your business by improving diversity of your board.
Daphne, fantastic. Thank you so, so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Thank you so much for having me, Sabine.
How can we help you and your board? If you have any questions, if you have ideas for a new episode, if you would like to gain insights into our work, if you would like to see a demo of our platform, do not hesitate to get in touch. You can best reach us at info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.